This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hello, it's Sunday the 24th of May 2020. This is Stuck at Home, and just like you, we're stuck at home too. My name is Bex and I am joined by my good pal and Fun Kids friend and legend, Dan. Hey, Dan.
I'm glad that you added the legend at the end then, because I wouldn't have spoken if it was just a good pal and Fun Kids friend. But yeah, I'm so glad to be back, Bex. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, famously, you don't value friendship at all, Dan. So in this episode, I chat to the Week Junior team. We get banged up in the Tower of London. Uh-oh. And Dan and I are going to give you a few things that you can do at home as well. Like I said, we are stuck at home just like you. We're recording this podcast from our houses, our bedrooms, our kitchens, our cupboards, our living rooms. Bear with us if it sounds a little bit weird every now and again. So Dan, tell me, what have you been up to?
I have been looking at something that I've always wanted to see with my own eyes, but I haven't managed to. I have been live streaming, watching the Northern Lights. I found a website where they live stream it. It's got like a webcam pointed at the sky up in Canada. And if you pick it at the right time, they're not always happening at the moment because they really only happen late winter and early spring, but you can still catch it. You see these amazing lights strobing through the sky. It's deep science. It's all to do with the sun's rays kind of hitting the atmosphere, and it works a bit like a strobe lighting, the way that that works, like an LED, and it kind of lights up the sky. It's really hard to describe. If you look at, if you know what the Northern Lights are, if you look at them, you can live stream them. If you go to explore.org, and then find the live cams and find the Aurora Borealis and Northern Lights when you're on there.
Where else can you see the Aurora Borealis? Can you see it in like London, or does it have to be up north?
Not in London. You can't where you are in your garlic fields of North London. If you missed that, it's on yesterday's episode. Just go and listen back. Now, it's mainly north. It's near the poles. It's all to do with the polar regions. I'm not sure if you can see them on the South Pole, actually, but definitely at the North Pole. I think maybe you can see a different type of... Well, they're obviously not the Northern Lights, but they're at the South Pole, are they? But they're a different... They're a similar light phenomenon, but they're called something different, and it's caused by the same reason.
Because I have to say, the Northern Lights are something I've always been desperate to catch, actually. And I think even people I know who've gone to the right place to go and see them, you don't always get a guaranteed chance of actually catching them, because sometimes they just don't appear.
Very, very temperamental things, yeah. You can go to some places at certain times where they... You're not guaranteed, but it's almost certain. They're a kind of bank. But yeah, I do know that they are a bit flighty, and it's like they have a personality. It's like when they know you've spent a lot of money traveling up to Norway or to Iceland to see these, they just won't pop out. But they honestly look amazing. Like, you can find videos of them online and obvious and clearly with this live stream, and it does look like another world that's out there in the sky. They're so mystical and magical.
Yeah, it's amazing bright colours, just like you said, strobing through the night sky. It is incredible, and it looks like something from Brave or from Frozen.
That's exactly what it looks like. Or, by the Philip Pullman book of the same name, Northern Lights.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a much more... Yeah, that's a much more correct way to phrase it, rather than Frozen. Yeah, that makes much more sense.
Yeah, they're all called... It's caused by...
I can't believe I didn't think of
it's
that.
It's caused by kind of solar winds. And you know LED lights? Or no, like those strobe lights that you see sometimes? Late at night, often, yeah, in films. They are made in a similar way to the Northern Lights form naturally in the sky. It's all to do with charged particles and solar winds and protons and electrons, and you can look at it yourself. Yeah, it's explore.org, and then find the live stream and the webcam places on there and find the Northern Lights. So that has been me exploring the world from my bedroom. What about you, Bex? What have you been up to?
I love it. Well, I have been trying and failing and winning at the lost art, well, it's not really lost, the art of origami. Now, in case you're wondering at home what origami is, it's basically paper folding to make different sculptures, structures, useful objects. I'm the kind of person, though, if I'm going to make something, I want to make something that's useful. You can make lovely paper folded things, like you can make lovely swans. Back in the day, I used to be very, very good at a paper frog. That was my high point. But I now... I like to make things that are interesting and useful. So you can use origami to make little kind of paper cranes, and you can string them along and then you can hang them up in your bedroom, or you can use them to make card holders. But what I've been using origami to make is little mini vases, Dan.
Vases? What are you putting in these vases?
So a little while ago, my dad gave me some little succulent plants. They're little tiny, kind of like almost cactus-like plants, and they don't need much water. So obviously when I'm watering them, I have to take them out. They're in a little pot already. I have to take them out of the paper and then water them and then put them back in later. But basically, they're tiny little, you can make little vases that are out of coloured card. Mine are, I'm just looking at them, pink and green and blue. And they fit your little pots perfectly. And they also look really smart. And they kind of hide the maybe dirty kind of like brown pots that you've got that aren't very nice to look at. You can make loads of stuff. You can make candy boxes. You can make bigger vases. You can make whole flower displays out of origami. There's loads of websites online with lots of tutorials of what to make, and it's quite nice just to decorate your house with them. But like I say, I do quite like making things that are useful, so the vases are the ones that had my heart.
A couple of days ago on the podcast, I did something similar, didn't I? I made fidget spinners using paper, and that was quite intricate origami. How complicated is making a little baby vase with paper?
It depends how deep into this you want to go, Dan. So there are some really easy ways of doing it, but there are also some very technical, tricky ways of folding paper that you need to do like really close, step by step by step. There's some easy stuff to do as well. You can make, for example, an origami bear, or like I said, you could do a little frog. I used to do a frog that would hop along. If you pressed it back, it would keep going along the table. But it just means that you've got to pick and choose what you think your skill level is, I would say. I am building up to being able to make a paper crane backdrop. So they're tiny little kind of like almost birds, I guess, and you can string them along and they just look really pretty and nice, and I think they will cheer up my bedroom. So if you're stuck at home like us, give those things a go. Check out the Northern Lights online, or make yourself an origami sculpture, structure, or just a brilliant thing to look at. And tell us if you do. Send a message to funkidslive.com/stuck and you could appear in a future episode.
Now, we're finding out all about one of London's most famous landmarks in Stuck at Home at the moment, the Tower of London. In this episode, we're finding out all about John Balliol, who spent time in the Tower with a lot of staff. Remember, as always with our podcast episodes, listen very closely, really go through it, because Bex and I will give you three questions at the end of Stuck at Home that will test how well you've been paying attention.
Locked up in the Tower of London.
I love history. Especially when I have a chance to look around dark, damp old dungeons and check out gruesome stuff like torture chambers and... Well, you get the idea. So here I am at the Tower of London. My uncle's a beef eater, one of the special yeoman warders. He's always telling me about the famous prisoners at the Tower, so I've come on a tour to check the place out for myself. You might be asking, what's a yeoman warder? Well, they're the special guards who live and work at the Tower, protecting the monarch and their property. You'd recognise their red uniforms, but did you know they're real soldiers? They have to have served for over 22 years to be able to apply for the job. And because in the past they were close to royalty, they had the best bits of beef to eat. Some say that's why they're also called beef eaters. Can you hear that? Scottish bagpipes. Talking of royalty reminds me of a Scottish king named John Balliol, who ended up spending time here when it was more of a palace than a prison. It's one of my uncle's favourite stories. He said John made himself quite at home. Let's follow the sound. You never know where it might take us.
John Balliol, you shall be quartered here.
Brilliant! It's the Scottish king, and he's in trouble. My uncle says the English king wanted him to join the war against France, but he refused, and that he even wanted to join the French against the English. That was not going to go down well.
Perhaps, sire, I should call you Tomb Tabard.
Tomb Tabard?
I hear that's what your people are calling you. Empty shirt, nothing but a traitor to King Edward.
Had England treated us as friends and not subjects, I may not have to be put in such a position. But this is of no concern to you. My quarters, if you will.
Here we go.
I suppose it shall have to suffice.
He doesn't know how lucky he is. This room is really luxurious, with tapestry and comfortable couches, and a fire in the fireplace.
You must, however, make sure there's sufficient room for my servants.
As you wish, sire. Who might we expect?
Well, there's my chaplain, Lord William de Froxfeld, my servant Richard, and of course my butler John Clyware. All must have quarters.
We shall see they have lodgings.
Don't forget my treasurer Gantroni, and Lord William's clerk Henry.
So that's two more. Very well.
Then there's my barber, my tailor Adam, and then the grooms.
Grooms?
For the horses, of course. We bring two horses and three grooms. Oh, and two squires, as befits my station.
Where exactly do you propose to go on a horse, sire?
That's none of your concern. And you're not to forget that I also bring a cook, a porter, and my laundress.
Well, I suppose you're entitled to be clothed and fed.
And not forgetting my carter, miller, hunter, and page.
Now, look here, you are not going hunting.
Plus, of course, my two greyhounds.
Do you propose to chase down the ravens, or perhaps the rats? There's nothing else to hunt here at the tower.
And be sure to account for my entitlement to 10 running dogs, if you please.
And a partridge and a pear tree. This place is certainly more of a palace than a prison for John. I expect the special treatment is because he was the King of Scotland, even though he had fallen out with the English King.
Well, for all your entourage, I dare say you will find it hard here. The fires don't burn as long, nor is the food the sort to which you've become accustomed.
Yes, he's not looking too happy, even with a massive entourage to cheer him up. John didn't have to stay very long before he was released, and he lived the rest of his life in France. His time at the Tower was very different to others. Not tortured or mistreated at all. And he hung on to his head. The tour's moving on, so I'd better move too. Catch you later.
Locked up in the Tower of London with support from Historic Royal Palaces. Find out more at funkidslive.com/tower.
I hope you're listening closely at the end of Stuck at Home. Bex and I will give you three questions about what you've just heard.
Okay, let's go over to the Week Junior magazine right now. I believe we're speaking to managing editor Vanessa. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am all good, thank you. Tell us, what story do you have for us today?
Well, I've got something a little bit confusing for you, possibly, Bex. Did you know that apes can video call?
No, but I want to know more about this.
Well, after months apart, a zookeeper called Lainey Miller, who works at Twycross Zoo in Leicestershire, chatted to Jeanette, who is one of the chimps that she usually looks after. The zookeeper, she'd been working at the zoo for 4 years, so she'd built up quite a friendship with the chimpanzees, and but she left in January to go on maternity leave. So she was going off to have a baby, which, as you recall, all those many months ago, January was well before the lockdown on the 23rd of March. Anyway, so she's been away for about 4 months, and obviously she hasn't seen Jeanette in that time. So they decided that she would say hello over video call. So she, they got the two together, and Lainey asked Jeanette what she'd been doing during lockdown. Should imagine eating and wondering where everybody was. And she introduced her new baby, Sebastian. Amazingly, Jeanette, the chimp, recognised Lainey and responded to her voice, and they seemed to have a bit of a chat. She even seemed to smile at baby Sebastian. So obviously it's a really close friendship, and hopefully they'll be back together again soon.
That is so sweet to know that, that the faces, they recognised each other. Obviously the zookeeper recognised the chimp, but that's so lovely that she kind of must have missed her keeper a little bit, and she must have missed her pal.
Yes, I think it's really interesting the way humans and animals are kind of interacting with each other and doing it online, because, you know, it's sort of surprising that animals' eyes can actually respond to what's on a screen, which are, of course, designed for human eyes. So recently, there was an aquarium in Tokyo that asked people to talk to their garden eels, because they were becoming so unfamiliar with humans that they would just bury into the sand, which is a problem because every time the keepers walked past, the eels would all disappear. So it meant the keepers couldn't examine the eels and check that they were healthy. So what they did is they got they set up loads of iPads and asked people to speak to the eels so that the eels could see humans via tablet and wouldn't become unfamiliar with them.
See, I heard that story, but I hadn't heard the chimpanzee story. In fact, I think I heard that story from Michael from the Week Junior. So I love that so much. I love the idea that we're going to be making some pretty cool, maybe some apps for chimpanzees and for iPads. So eventually everybody in the world and all animals can have a little iPad with them.
Maybe. Well, I certainly think they should listen to the Week Junior podcast.
Yeah, if they download the podcast app, they can definitely get involved. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for that.
They should get their keepers to help them with that.
And leave a 5-star review while they're at it. Vanessa, we'll speak to you really soon.
Right, we're coming to the end of Stuck at Home for today. But before we go, it's time to test you on the episode that we heard of Locked Up in the Tower of London earlier on. It was all about John Balliol today. Here we go. 3 quick questions coming up. Number one, is it true or false? John Balliol was King of Wales. True or false?
Question number two. John had quite the entourage in the Tower of London. How many running dogs was he allowed? Was it A5, B10, or C20?
And finally, John didn't have to stay very long at the Tower of London. Where did he go when he was released? A, to Barbados. B, to Ireland. Or C, to France. I realised I said Barbados in quite a triumphant way. Don't let that skew your opinion, all right? How do you think you got on? We'll give you a few more moments to answer the questions. If you need to hear them again or you want to listen to the whole episode of Locked Up in the Tower of London, you can do that. Just recap, scan backwards in your podcast app. And if you need some time, now is the point at which to pause the podcast and then tap play again when you're ready. We'll see you there. Right, let's get the answers. True or false? John Balliol was the King of Wales. Well done. If you said it was false, he was the King of Scotland.
Question number two. John had quite the entourage in the Tower of London. How many running dogs was he allowed? I can't believe he was allowed any, but apparently the answer was B, 10.
And finally, John did not stay very long at the Tower of London. He went to France when he was released. I'd prefer Barbados myself. France, still pretty good place to be exiled to, I have to say.
Yeah, it's not too shabby, is it? Well, hopefully you got all those answers right. If you did, give yourself a big old pat on the back. If you didn't, don't worry about it. Give yourself a pat on the back anyway. You gave it a go. And that's pretty much it for us today. So if you are stuck at home like us, give those things a go that we mentioned earlier. Perhaps you fancy exploring the Northern Lights. Dan, what was that website again?
Explore.org. Loads of things that you can do on there. Make sure that you find the live cams so you can live stream the Aurora Borealis.
Brilliant stuff. And or if you fancy making something nice to go in your home, get your origami levels up. So that's pretty much it from us today. Goodbye from Dan.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Bex. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get this podcast. And of course, don't you worry, you can hear more tomorrow. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.